I'm Mary Ivory, and her study was on women offenders, and it was a pilot study. A pilot study of needs of women in batterer intervention program, and I have no disclosures. And the study was supported by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and the content is solely the responsibility of the authors and not necessarily representing the official views of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And the travel was sponsored by the Sharp Board. So a background on domestic violence, which you're probably familiar with, but it's an abusive pattern of behavior to maintain power and control in a relationship. And this can be done through threats or physical, sexual, emotional, or economic control. And it leads to negative outcomes of not only the women, but their children. And it can be physical, emotional, or financial. So physical health problems, negative health behaviors leading to shortened life, emotional things like PTSD, depression, and anxiety, and financial, like they end up being relying on their partner and aren't able to leave because of that. So men and women who perpetrate domestic violence differ demographically. Women tend to be younger and they tend to have children in the household. In their use of violence, women are more likely to use a weapon, and for treatment needs, they have both physical and mental needs in treatment. But unfortunately, current battery intervention programs only target male-perpetrated domestic violence, even for the women programs. And so, of course, it's more effective at treating men than female offenders. So the purpose was to determine the physical and mental health needs of women in battery intervention programs in Hillsborough County, Florida. The participants were 39 women currently enrolled in battery intervention programs at the level 2 level, which is a 26-week program. The mean age was 30 years, and the racial and ethnic breakdown was 46% white, 36% black, 10% Hispanic, and 5% other. And their education was 33% had high school or equivalent, and the mean number of children was 1.69. So the instruments used were the short form health survey, which is a general physical and mental health issue and their impact on functioning, and then the psychiatric diagnostic screening questionnaire, or PDSQ, which looks at Axis I disorders in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders in fourth edition, and then the conflict tactics scale, which assesses intimate partner violence through questions about physical assault, injury, psychological aggression, and sexual coercion. So here are the questions in the SF8, which is the first general health. So the means and standard deviations are there for each question, and its overall rating of health, limitation on physical activity, unable to do daily work because of physical health, bodily pain, energy level, limitation on social activities, bothered by emotional problems, and unable to do usual activities because of physical or emotional problems. And if you notice, like, none of the means are showing excellent health status for both physical and mental health. The breakdown with how a SF8 report goes is comparing it to general population norms. So for the physical component summary, 44% of women were above average for physical health, 33 were below average, and 23 were at the norm. And for mental, it was 21 above average, 41 on average, and 38 below. And it was kind of surprising that the physical health was actually better than the general population norm, but worse for mental health. So for the conflict tactics scale, the past year, self-reported physical injury was investigated, and it turned out both were significant, that women in the battery intervention programs were more likely to have physical injury in the past year resulting from domestic violence, with 62% versus 54% with the partner, and the p-value was 0.007, so significant. And then severe injury sustained from domestic violence, when it was reported, women had more severe injuries at 46% when compared to 21%. These are the results of the PDSQ in terms of the mental and substance abuse problems. So 41% of women had PTSD, 23 had depression, 41 had psychosis, alcohol abuse was 31%, 15% drug abuse, and 36% generalized anxiety disorder. And we believe that the alcohol and drug abuse is probably a lot higher than it's reported because it is a self-report, and for social desirability, they might not have reported as much. Also, when we were conducting the interviews, a lot of women said that they had to fill out a similar substance abuse screen for when they got into the batterer intervention program. And if they were honest, they ended up having to do treatment based on reporting of the substance abuses. So they were worried that we were going to tell the head of the batterer intervention program that they were using drugs or drinking excessively during their treatment. And psychosis is probably a lot higher than it really was, because for the positive screen, they only needed to mark one question right for it to be considered a psychosis. And some of the questions were things like, you feel like you're getting followed, or people keep checking up on you, but part of domestic violence, like their partner may have been doing that, so it's not really paranoia if it's really happening. So for depression risk, compared to the general population norm, study participants were at 38% likely to have depression in the future when compared to 16% of the general risk of the population. So basically, both physical and mental health problems are really bad in this population and aren't targeted at all in treatment. And a large population of the women that are in treatment have Axis 1 disorders, according to the screen, and nearly 40% of participants are at risk of developing depression in the future. Some limitations were the sample size. There was only 39 participants, but although it was small, we were still able to get some significance in our tests. And then differences between sites because of the location, the culture of the two different treatment programs was very different. And randomization was not possible because we couldn't pick who goes in which batterer intervention program. That's something they do. So women who are perpetrators of domestic violence experience a lot of physical and mental health issues that aren't addressed. And we really need to develop a model for female offenders, not just male offenders. And that model should include better screening to help individualize the treatment, and additional funding for mental health services so they're able to get the mental and physical needs met.